In the early 1980s, a new president, Ronald Reagan, promised a smaller federal government, including a skinny-down Environmental Protection Agency. His first EPA head, Ann Gorsuch, presided over budget cuts and environmental enforcement that plummeted. Then came the pushback. EPA staffers coordinated with other Washington insiders to leak inside documents about all this to government investigators. And to this resistance, the new administration was undermining the environment. It was undercutting the job of the EPA to keep us safe from pollution. Eventually, lawmakers began poking into what became a bigger scandal, and the news media joined the chase.
What got me sort of into the environmental arena was a tip that there was an enormous dioxin problem, dioxin being maybe the most toxic chemical produced by man, in the state of Missouri.
This is Greg Gordon, longtime investigative reporter in Washington, D.C. And full disclosure, my journalism professor in college back in the early 90s. Now, in the early 80s, Greg gets a crash course on this deadly family of chemicals, dioxin. It's often a byproduct of industrial manufacturing when a company makes a chemical or it burns something.
I was writing for United Press International. I was a young investigative reporter at the time working in the Washington Bureau.
By 1982, the stench at the EPA is one of the biggest stories in town. Industrial toxins are turning up in neighborhoods all over the country. Yet the agency is slow to clean things up or to punish polluters. And Greg Gordon gets this tip.
There was a chemical plant in southwest Missouri in the town of Verona.
During the Vietnam War, the plant produced Agent Orange, a chemical herbicide the Americans used to clear trees and expose the enemy. We now know it is linked to many cancers. Leukemia, lung, prostate, it's a long list. The making of Agent Orange produced this poisonous byproduct, dioxin.
One person described to me that if you had a single drop of dioxin dropped in a swimming pool, it would be toxic.
So in the early 70s, as Vietnam was still going, this factory in Missouri was patriotically making Agent Orange.
There was a waste sludge that was in tanks at the plant that they wanted to get rid of. So they hired a truck driver named Russell Bliss, and Mr. Bliss mixed the sludge with waste oil and was spraying it all around the state on roads for dust control and so forth.
So here's what was going on. Dust was getting kicked up on unpaved roads. Towns around the state hired this truck driver named Bliss to spray a liquid cocktail to keep the dust down. Bliss also happened to haul waste for the Agent Orange plant, so he had all this dioxin on his hands, which he stirred into his cocktail. Convenient. But suddenly, more than 40 horses near these roads he was spraying turned up dead. Now, this contamination, it doesn't become news for a decade.
I got this tip and I started checking, and I found a source in the government in Missouri who told me that this was brewing and there were 35 to 50 sites in the state that were contaminated.
By now, it's 1982, and the timing could not be worse for the agency charged with protecting us from poison in the soil and water, the Environmental Protection Agency, and the two women at the top. Rita Lavelle is the deputy in charge of toxic waste, including the Superfund program to clean up old toxic dump sites, and Ann Gorsuch, who heads the EPA. On Capitol Hill, one of the key players putting the EPA and the Reagan administration in the hot seat is a surprising one. Elliot Levitas is a moderate Democrat from the South, from a Republican-leaning district in Atlanta, not exactly a Reagan hater. Now, in 2022, Levitas is retired and he's in his 90s, but my goodness, his memory. As Levitas tells it, back in the 1980s, he was not hunting for an EPA scandal. He was trying to avoid one.
One of the things that I wanted to do as the chairman of this committee was to avoid doing oversight as an autopsy.
In other words, to prevent a government crisis in the first place. And his staff is asking, what's going on at the EPA? Is it responding to toxic waste emergencies and waste sites around the country? Remember, the agency has this Superfund program to clean up these sites.
These staff people who knew their business went over to EPA and were getting these documents and examining them and seeing if there were any patterns that came to light.
As part of the paper trail, Elliot Levitis' staff asks for documents on Superfund sites, including the Stringfellow acid pits in California.
All of a sudden, they closed the door and said, we're not going to let you have any documents. And that's when I smelled the rat.
Now, he's in a fight.
My concern was that they were using the Superfund program not to enhance environmental protection, but to diminish or abolish it.
Now, that's just the suspicions of one congressional committee. There is a separate investigation of the EPA at the House Energy and Commerce Committee, and its chair is one of the most feared men in Washington, John Dingell, Democrat of Michigan, self-styled watchdog. Dingell is actually not loved by environmentalists either, because he represents Dearborn, the automakers, and he gets slammed as tailpipe Johnny, Dirty Dingell. But he is tenacious about scandal at Superfund.
Today, the subcommittee continues its inquiry into the administration of the Superfund Act and withholding of Superfund files from the Congress.
Dingell wants documents about the Stringfellow acid pits, too. It's one of the worst sites in the country. But mysteriously, the cleanup is being delayed. So Dingell starts to wonder, is there a political cover-up going on here? Is the EPA asleep at the wheel on purpose? But the Reagan EPA goes dark on Dingell, too. No documents on Stringfellow. Why no documents? Executive privilege. Sounds familiar, right? Okay, quick detour. Executive privilege is what ex-President Trump and key staffers were arguing in the summer of 2022 to avoid talking to the January 6th committee in Congress.
You see, Mr. Cipollone recalled conversations about those chants in the West Wing, but he relied on executive privilege to maintain confidentiality over his...
This is a separation of powers argument. Richard Nixon made it too, claiming executive privilege to not hand over secret White House audio tapes. As far as the Reagan EPA, well, here's Dick Franzen, an investigator for John Dingell.
They were going to claim executive privilege over a certain set of documents. But they also did a second thing. In addition to starting a constitutional fight with the separate and co-equal branch of government on access to information.
So this is the White House versus Congress. It's the Republican administration versus the Democratic House of Representatives. And in the middle of this fight is Ann Gorsuch. She's the cabinet official in the hot seat who was actually claiming executive privilege.
The only enforcement mechanism in the process is up the ante, send a subpoena, deuces take them for documents with a return date. That means they have to bring the documents to the committee, right? Failure to bring the documents on the date to show up or bring the documents holds them open to being cited for contempt of Congress.
Contempt of Congress. That is a Washington mark of shame. When that is threatened, people tend to give in. In fact, up to 1982, no cabinet-level official has ever faced such a charge. Contempt also means possible prosecution and even prison time. That is what Gorsuch faces. On November 30th, less than a week before she's supposed to appear in front of Elliot Levitis' committee, Gorsuch's big boss, that would be the President of the United States, tells her, fight. Don't hand him over. And Ann Gorsuch is conflicted. She actually wants to release the documents. She thinks the executive privilege claim is weak. Still, she stays loyal to the president, and his Justice Department promises to have her back, at least for now. But then she makes history, the bad kind.
The House of Representatives today certified its contempt citation against Environmental Protection Agency Chief Ann Gorsuch and referred the matter to the U.S. Attorney.
Last night, Congress votes to hold her in contempt. Elliot Levitas.
From the very beginning days, there had never been a cabinet official held in contempt of Congress. Never. And for that to have occurred when it did, told me that for whatever reason, this was a matter of extreme importance to the Reagan people and their colleagues.
This becomes the first big scandal for the Reagan administration. Yet for Ann Gorsuch and her bosses, it's going to get worse, much worse. That was an excerpt of Captured, a new series from WBUR Podcasts and Here and Now, about a brazen attempt to take over the EPA and the nerds and pencil pushers who push back. So what will happen to Ann Gorsuch? Find out when you listen to the whole series on the Here and Now podcast feed. Just scroll down to Captured.